Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger. Very excited to be here with you this Wednesday morning, January 15th. Certainly a chilly one out there right now. I am warming up with a little caffeine cauldron over here. Hope you guys are big coffee people as well, too, on these chilly Tucson mornings over here. I think everybody was up pretty late last night in the old Pueblo with that 9 p.m. start time of the Arizona Wildcats against Baylor over there. What a late start for a U of A basketball game. We were so excited about going into the Big 12 that we might have these daytime games, and sure enough, we ended up with a 9 p.m. Tuesday home game, and there were some empty seats up there in the stands, too. I saw a number of rows up top over there, not completely sold out, showing that perhaps these late-night games aren't quite the draw when we're bringing in a top 25 team like Baylor, and we're absolutely not packing the house at McHale. That being said, the Cats still had a great victory. I'm very excited about that one this morning. On Food for Thought today, Starbucks comes to mind for me up front. I normally talk more about local restaurants over here, but I read an article in the Tucson Sentinel just a couple days ago lamenting about the opening of the much smaller Starbucks on Congress in the Chicago Music Store. Now, that space is an absolute gem of a space in downtown Tucson, and I looked at that myself, looking to develop it as a restaurateur a number of years back with the operators, but it required such an extensive and expensive tenant improvement, it just didn't make any financial sense. And between the CVS that came and went on that deal and many other restaurateurs, I'm sure, that looked at it, the only taker was a Starbucks. Now, that Starbucks doesn't really have a dining room. It's not a sit down and order sort of Starbucks. It's an order through the app and pick it up and leave type of Starbucks. This worries me. We've talked about this sort of restaurant structure before, right? We've seen this with the Angie's lobster rolls and the salad and goes out there anymore as we just continue to reduce full service restaurants, taking away the people, taking away the service, and breaking it down to just the product only. On Monday, Starbucks as a corporation announced that they were going to abandon their policy that they've had since 2018 that allowed anybody off the streets to come in and loiter in a Starbucks, to use the bathroom, or basically to just spend time into the establishment without spending any money. The establishments are starting to bite back at this. Quite frankly, there's no money in just providing bathrooms to people. And restaurants like Angie's Lobster Rolls, like these Salad and Go, like this Angie's Prime Grill that just opened up, they've learned that lesson, and they're no longer providing these services for the clients. And I fear that that's going to continue to happen. We're going to have this new face of restaurants where you literally order through an app, you order through an iPad, and yes, there's still somebody behind the curtain preparing your food. We haven't quite figured out the technology to remove that portion yet. But as our minimum wage ticks up and up again, and certainly it did go up again on January 1st in the city of Tucson, up to $15 an hour and $12 an hour for servers, there's just an incentive to provide less and less service in a very, very unfortunate circumstance. And you're seeing it happen with these chains in Starbucks. You're seeing it happen with these particular chains that have opened up in Tucson. And I think you're going to see a continued reduction in full service restaurants, either in their size, scope, or both moving forward. And it's definitely something to be fearful of. That being said, there's lots of things to be excited about in Tucson. Coming up this week, we've got the Tucson Jazz Festival starting on Friday. I'm incredibly excited about that one. Our high season is coming up. Gem Show just around the corner over here in Tucson. In just a few short weeks, too, we'll have the World Baseball Classic qualifiers, right? I still miss and lament the absence of spring training, quite frankly. But hey, any sort of pro or semi-pro baseball is better than none at all. And so I salute those people bringing it on. We've got the Conquistadors bringing back the Colo Guard Classic that first weekend of March. There's some really awesome concerts coming up as well, too. That Friday night of the first Friday of March, you've got Vanilla Ice, 80s and 90s star over there playing at the Rito Downs, and then country music star Co Wetzel playing on Saturday. And so it's a back-to-back concert experience. And I think in a show coming up, we'll bring on some of the Conquistadors and talk about what is on tap for that one, because I love the fact that we're activating the Rito Downs and bringing live music to a venue that's been shuttered for the better portion of a calendar year. Now, other cool events that are popping up even go more into my wheelhouse as owner of the Maverick. We've got the Tucson Rodeo coming up right from February 15th to the 23rd. Not only do mom and dads get rodeo break everywhere here in Tucson, I understand it's pretty much the busiest time of the year for Disneyland as Tucson parents go and take advantage of that Thursday and Friday where the California kids don't have off. But in general, everything cowboy is just in these days. I was just reading an article on the internet just yesterday from a website called Love Food that named Pinnacle Peak Steakhouse, right? The number one themed restaurant in the state of Arizona. And that cowboy theme is just in. I call it the Yellowstone effect. I see it over at the Maverick as well, too. Everybody wants to drink, you know, four big Coors Banquet beers or five and put on some cowboy gear and head off to a honky-tonk and, you know, maybe get themselves into a little roadhouse-style scrap over there in some capacity. It is just sexy. It is in these days. Country music is hot. Cole Wetzel's coming to Tucson on March 8th. It's going to be a fantastic show, so don't miss that one. We've got more country coming up, though. After the break, I'm going to bring on Mackenzie O'Leary. She's the executive chef of the Tanga Verde Ranch, right? One of the oldest properties in Tucson, the longest running continuous business in the Old Pueblo. I believe they're up to about 156 years or so. And so when I think of and I talk about restaurants and places that have been around for a decade and how they deserve to be in the Tucson Restaurant Hall of Fame, we're talking about a place that's been around for a century and a half. Don't go anywhere. I've got Mackenzie O'Leary, executive chef of Tanga Verde Ranch, coming up after the break. You're listening to Grant Kruger on Jump In Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to Jump In Tucson. I'm your host, Grant Kruger. We bring you live local Tucson content every weekday, 9 to 10 a.m. And this morning, we are joined live in the KVOI studios by Mackenzie O'Leary, executive chef of the Tanga Verde Ranch. Good morning, Mackenzie.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us over here in KVOI. Really excited to have you here in the studio.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here. So excited.
So break down to me the background of your restaurant career. I love stories of where people started out, you know, and how you got to running such a historic property like the Tanga Verde Ranch.
Yeah, absolutely. So I originally wanted to go into something creative, right, as my field and my passion. And I tried interior design classes. And the first class, my instructor said, I don't think this is for you. She said, it was right through Pima. And she was like, your lighting plan is great, except your ceiling fan is in the hallway. And that was concerning. So she said, attention to detail is very specific with interior design. So I said, okay. And she goes, I suggest something else. So I went into culinary because I just, again, love the creative side of things. And I wanted to do something fun and colorful and exciting. And if it wasn't decorating fantastic, you know, spaces, then maybe it was making the food for them. And so I went into the culinary program here in Pima and just fell in love. And I ended up working for Creative Catering, which is an offsite catering company, for a long time and loved it. We did everything. So learned some pastry, learned some, you know, butler passed hors d'oeuvres, the whole works. And it was really, really amazing. And then from there, I got to go into a nonprofit, Pantano Christian Church. And then from there, I was doing spin classes regularly at the 49er Country Club. And they were looking for a new executive chef. So I kind of jumped in and put my name in there. And yeah, I ended up being at the 49er Country Club for a few years and was executive chef there. And then started to run the front and the back. So it was Chef and B.
F&B, that's no easy feat over there, Mackenzie. I mean, yeah. running the back is no easy feat to start with, right? Between keeping staffing, you know, as we've all talked about it and know it's been a real challenge over the last few years. But when you combine also running the front of house over there, where you've got to be the face of the business, but you've also got to deal with the production side on the back end is no easy feat. So I salute you for that one. How long do you do that job over there as Chef and B, as you said?
Yeah, over 2 years. Then, you know, COVID happened and everything kind of changed in the industry. And but you know, I loved it because the running joke was like they couldn't keep me in the kitchen because I love to table touch. Like I'm always like, hey, how are you? How's it? And the great thing about that environment, it's member based. So you get to really see the same faces over and over, and it was lovely.
I've always found that would be tough working in the country club as somebody that just came out of the regular private sector where we can have, you know, 800, 1,000, 1,200 customers a night, but they're always different. In the country club world, you often get like the same same 300 people or so over and over and over again, no?
Absolutely. Yeah. But you also get the same 300 orders over and over again. So you know that they like their egg this way or they like their toast this way. And so there's some consistency there that's actually really enjoyable because you get to know your regulars literally because they're members. And so they have to have a dining credit that they use. So it was nice to see everybody over and over again, but you have to make sure everything is just right.
Without a doubt. And some of the top chefs in Tucson often make their way to the country club settings in many ways, shapes, or forms. It might actually be preferable to even say owning your own restaurant because the work-life balance may be a little better on, and the pay may even be better on the executive chef side than for some of the owners. You know, we've seen Ryan Clark move their way over, you know, his way over to Ventana Canyon. Mm-hmm. Devin Sanner did that one as well too. And you ended up at the Tanga Verde Guest Ranch. How'd you end up there?
Yeah, so from the 49ers, I went over to Miraval Resort and Spa right up there in Catalina. And that was amazing. And was chef de cuisine over there. And then I wanted to find something closer to home. I'm an East Side girl. And so when the Tanga Verde Ranch had an opening for executive chef, I was thrilled. And I wanted to get right in there. And it's just such a beautiful environment. It's so... I have such a heart for the East Side of Tucson. It's just really its own area, and I loved it so much.
That's awesome. I also saw that you got an opportunity to be on the TV show Chopped, but break down that experience for a bit. There's only been a few Tucson chefs that have made their way to this particular show. Tell me a little bit about reality TV.
Oh, yes. It was really exciting. It was all due to the ranch, too. So Mary Ellen, our sales director over there, she was like, she got the call and they were looking for people who were, you know, looking to be on Chopped and were in the resort world. And it was a really amazing experience. It was exactly what you think, though, when you look at that show and you're like, oh, do they know what's in the basket? No, no, you don't. And you open the basket, it reveals, and then they reset the scene for like 20 seconds. And that's all you have to think.
I have reoccurring nightmares about that I would like open up the Chopped basket and like the secret ingredient would be like blue peeps, right? That, yes. I would wake up and like have something just completely obnoxious that I'd have to cook with and make a great dish with in some capacity. What did you get?
That was exactly my nightmare too. And it was real. It was Chinese corn candy was my blue peeps.
Oh my goodness.
Which I had never had before. It's not like candy corn at all. It's mushy and sweet and awful. And so I ended up being on this exotic Asian ingredient recipe episode. And so I had Chinese corn candy. I had abalone, which I thought was a mushroom, which was the good the good part of the episode where I'm like, is this a mushroom? But it was abalone, Chinese corn candy, watermelon radish, stuffing mix.
Oh my.
Yeah.
This is quite the challenge over there, for sure.
Yeah, it was very challenging.
And so truly, you guys had no idea what was coming in those ingredients, right? When they dropped those secret ingredients. It was truly a secret.
It was absolutely a secret. So I took a Sonoran take on it and did a tostada because I thought I can make all these flavors work. And it was definitely a challenge.
We got a call years ago for a Union Hospitality Group from John Taffer from Bar Rescue. And at first I was excited. We were taking over the space that is now the Proof restaurant, but mm-hmm. It had been five different restaurants in 5 years.
Oh, wow.
And they all folded. And so Bar Rescue called me up and said, hey, like, we understand you're taking over this bar over here. Would you be interested in a, you know, $10,000 remodel and an opportunity to be on TV? And I was like, yes, like, absolutely, let's do this. And I was really excited for the opportunity. But when I went through the interview process, they were like, wait a minute, do you own the restaurant next door? And the one next door to that, too? Yeah, that doesn't quite fit the backstory of what we're looking for. We need you to be one missed mortgage payment away from complete and total financial disaster, because that sort of fits the narrative of what they were looking for. So, unfortunately, I did not get the opportunity to be on reality TV in the way you did. But congratulations for being on CHOP and representing Tucson. That's pretty awesome.
Hey, thanks. You know, it was really fun. It was very challenging. And yeah, it was an adventure for sure.
Now, another famous woman chef from Tucson, Maria Masson, right, has been on both Chopped and on the Food Network on a number of shows. And we've actually have a strong history in Tucson of strong women executive chefs. For most listeners out there, you might find it hard to believe that there's actually not an incredibly large number in general in the industry of women executive chefs. Why do you think that is, Mackenzie?
You know, it's hard to say. I've always been really true to myself in this industry. I'm literally wearing a pink chef coat right now.
I can confirm the accuracy of that statement for you listeners.
Yeah, there's a lot of my own energy that I just am totally myself. But it's such a grueling environment. You know, kitchens, they have their own language. They have their own way. You know, I always say we're around, you know, hot, sharp things all the time. And there's stress and there's energy. And I think that positive energy that you bring into it, for me, that's a huge part of it. But there's a lot of people who bring negative energy into the kitchens. And so it's kind of can be, you know, a hard environment to cultivate that kind of like feminine energy of positivity that I like to bring into it. You know, I come in and it's like, hey, chef, and everybody's giving hugs. And, you know, that's what I'm about. So for me, it's exciting to be part of that culture.
It's so different because in a domestic situation, in most homes, and this may be a huge stereotype, but in general, you know, the women tend to be better cooks in a home than a man, is a sweeping stereotype. But in the kitchen, it's so difficult, I think, to manage some of the pirates that we also have in the back of house as well, too, as a woman. I salute you because it's no easy feat. Like, it's something that you don't see often, but when you do see it, they tend to be very good. And I've heard nothing but great things about you guys over at the Tanga Verde Ranch as well.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I definitely, it's all a passion, right? What we do is a passion. There's no chef that I have ever met who says, oh, you know, this isn't really my thing. Then why are you doing it, right? Because if it's not your thing, how do you do it 12 hours a day? Eat, sleep, you know, breathe, dream it. So it's just such a dream to be able to be in the kitchen and to bring that energy in there as well. And especially as a female, you know, I love it. Like to be able to bring that, you know, kind of like that maternal side of it, right? Like, because again, I'm a mother, but at the same time, when I come in a kitchen, I want to be a teammate. I want to be a leader. I want to be, you know, inspiring to the team. And I think that hard work really pays off.
Now, your culinary program over there has got three meals a day. Is it breakfast, lunch, and dinner then as well, too, given that it's a guest ranch? What are your operating hours?
Yeah, so we have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We are totally open to the public. We are a resort. We've been we do tons of banquet business, lots of different corporate groups that will come in, weddings. We do so many weddings, which I really love.
So let our listeners know, where is the Tanga Verde Ranch exactly?
So the Tanga Verde Ranch, it's a 14301 East Speedway Boulevard. It's all the way at the end of Speedway. So it's right at the base of Saguaro National Park. So when you're driving east on Speedway, you just keep going. And then you'll see the sign.
Fair enough. You basically just drive east until you get there.
Exactly. Exactly.
Amazing. You can't miss that one. This happens to be one of the most historic properties in Tucson. As we were saying at the very top of the hour, you guys have now celebrated your 156th year. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, we just keep going. So it is. It's so beautiful. It's so historic. We have this this room on property called the Card Room, where I really like to do intimate dinners for like our chef's table experience. And it's just one of our oldest rooms on property. And it has all this beautiful history to it. And there's just the walls are lined with information and history and stories. And, you know, the Carrillo dining room is named after, you know, the Carrillos, and everything about the ranch is really just so beautifully historic. And it's a true statement to Tucson.
Do you see what I talked about at the top of the hour, the Yellowstone effect, that like everybody wants to cosplay cowboys these days? Like, do you see that showing up at the ranch as well too?
100%. Yeah, we talk about that all the time, especially, you know, with city folk, if you will, coming in and going, oh, wow, because we have, you know, beautiful, we have, you know, over 600 acres and we have horses everywhere. And just, you know, it's beautiful, but it's got the Yellowstone effect has definitely made us a little busier, I think.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think that's helped us over at the Maverick as well, too, as just that the theme, the music, like all of it, like is just so popular. We've got Shane Smith and the Saints coming up next month to play over at the Maverick, and this is a band that's well known for having had, you know, their musical appearances on Yellowstone as well too, and the show sold out like literally within a couple of days based specifically on their TV show appearance. And so I think it's got to help out places like the White Stallion Ranch and the Tanga Verde Ranch as well too, correct?
Oh, absolutely. We do our outdoor cowboy cookouts on Wednesdays and Saturday nights, and that's the total feel, right? It's like the outdoor grill, it's the music, the live music, the dancing, the string lights. It's just just in the Cottonwood Grove. You know, it's got the whole Yellowstone effect, if you will.
And us city folk are allowed to just show up at those ones over there? Do you need to make reservations? Like, how does that work if I want to go cosplay cowboy over there with you guys?
No, you absolutely should. Yeah, no, reservations are accepted on the website and through phone calls. But you just make a reservation, come on down, and we have great, like, big parties will come down for birthday celebrations, all local. And so it's really a really great space for that. And again, you get to just kind of walk around in cowboy boots if you like and take advantage of the delicious food and the dancing.
I love it. Well, we're playing cowboy over here on Jump in Tucson. Don't go anywhere. We've got a couple more segments with Chef Mackenzie O'Leary, Executive Chef of the Tanga Verde Ranch. You're listening to Jump in Tucson at 10:30 a.m. Your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. Every weekday, 9 to 10 a.m. on Mondays and Fridays, you've got Dr. Ed Ackerley bringing you the latest and greatest from both the University of Arizona and business success stories. On Tuesday, you've got Ted Maxwell from the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. Ted brings the engagement hour and often has heavy-hitting politicians, policymakers, and people that get things done. On Wednesday, you get to deal with me, Grant Kruger. We're talking all things restaurants and local politics and the way those things often tend to intersect. And on Thursdays, following me up tomorrow, you've got Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. He's always got neat things going on in the old Pueblo and bringing those to you. But we are still live in studios with Chef Mackenzie O'Leary, the executive chef of Tanga Verde Ranch. Welcome back, Mackenzie.
Thank you.
Hey, so Tanga Verde Ranch has been around since 1868. Don Emilio Carrillo started this ranch, is what I'm seeing over 1868. This is, you know, more than 50 years before Arizona was a state.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like, it's crazy. The history behind the ranch is insane. Our general manager, Terry, he walks around and he'll tell you every single story. You know, he knows them all. And it's beautiful to see because it's such a beautiful story. It's such a beautiful place. And there's so much history there.
Yeah, there's a story that Don Emilio Carrillo was actually hung from one of the beams on the property and survived the hanging. Is that true?
Absolutely. And we'll, you know, he'll point out the beam every time that we walk through and he'll be like, oh, it's the beam. And it's generally like just so rich in history and it's all true.
Unbelievable. I feel like I've almost been hung a couple times in my restaurants. I think the Pima County Board of Supervisors and Health Department over there during the COVID time and their bad boy list were ready to hang me from the rafters. So hopefully we've softened those blows and made up nice. Just kidding, their health department. I love you guys.
Yeah. Well, if that is, I mean, that would make a great story though, because you'd obviously survive, you know, and then you could be like, that's the beam.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is the oldest continuously operating business in Tucson, correct?
Yes. Yeah, no, it's only like literally like less than a handful of owners this whole time. So that's amazing. And again, the history of the ranch, it's so beautiful to just look out into that Saguaro National Park because we're bordered by the Saguaro National Park. And, you know, on our breakfast rides on Thursday mornings and Sunday mornings, you literally go up and to the old homestead and that's where the original old home is. And you eat, you know, pancakes that are made fresh off the grill and look at the beautiful surroundings. And you're like, oh my gosh, these cacti are just like amazing. And it's just so, so crazy.
Now you're working on a number of monthly beer dinners now with local breweries. Speaking of all things local, tell me about some of the breweries you're working with. What do you got going on with these?
Yeah, I'm so excited. It's something we're really launching this year. And we're starting next week. So next Friday, the 24th, we're doing Torito Farms from Wilcox. We're doing their beer, which is amazing. I have never had beer quite like this. Their Hefeweizen has changed my life. The banana flavor, oh my gosh. But yeah, so we're going to be basically working with local breweries and then also with different wineries to make dinners happen monthly. And the dinners are going to pair all those beautiful chef culinary cuisine with that amazing flavor from all the beers.
And so that Torito Farms dinner's on January 24th?
Yes, January 24th at the ranch at 7 p.m. It's going to be in our barn venue, which is stunning. And it's a really great opportunity to come out and see, again, the venue and just really enjoy delicious food and amazing beer.
How would listeners find out, like, if you wanted to make reservations for that beer dinner? Like, can you just walk in? Is this reservations? Is there a website?
Yeah, reservations required, yes. The website has all of the event information on there as well as the phone number for reservations and the email. And yeah, basically, and the menu is on the website as well. So you can kind of take a peek. And then if you have any questions, call. I talked to a lady yesterday who was asking about gluten-free options. And I was like, perfect. So here's what we can do. Because we really want to make this really exciting and really accessible for everyone. But the Torito Farms beer, I worked with Sal Torito on making this pairing, and he brought the beer out and he's like, you know, we also have milk. And I'm like, do you? So there's going to be an ice cream made from the Torito Farms milk, as well as a polenta. So it's going to be really farm to table, literally.
No, I'm really excited for that. I believe we're going to have Sal on next week as well, too. I've invited him and his significant other to come on and join us here on Jump in Tucson. So I'm hoping to get that confirmation that they may actually join us next week as well, too.
Oh, that's awesome. They're amazing. They are amazing. And the things that they are creating down there, I mean, it's just, it's a really crazy delicious beer. And so we can't wait to have this dinner with them and then be able to go from there and you know, to every month offer something different, you know, as far as how do we bring in these local breweries and really make this food pay homage to what they do, because it's just so exciting to be able to have such delicious cuisine and then amazing, you know, beer that goes with it.
So there's also chef table experiences over there at the ranch as well, too?
Yeah, yeah. They're really exciting. So I like to say, like, we curate the experience around you. So if it's your anniversary, your birthday, or it's a big get-together, right? Like a bachelorette we did for, you know, 25 people. And it's a six-course pairing. So we pair that with wine. And we curate the whole experience around you. So if you're like, hey, this is what I like, this is what I hate, perfect. The menu will dictate that. And, you know, any allergens, any the protocols that you follow as far as food or, you know, drinks. We literally base the whole menu around you and your thing. I like to call it a chef's whim. I'm like, we can do anything you like, but if you don't want to choose, a chef's whim is preferred because we get to play, right? We get to give you the seasonal amazing things that that we can create from, you know, our own, you know, produce and different things like that.
Do you grow any of your own produce or produce any of your own food on the ranch?
We're working on our herb garden right now. So we do work on that. We work on just getting everything like as local as we can. You know, we were sourcing our beef from, you know, Vera Earl Ranch there for a while. And like everything that we can get from our local purveyors, we really enjoy.
It's tougher than I think most listeners think, because when you think of farm to table and you're in a place like Northern California or something, mm-hmm. there's just amazing farms and this abundance of produce and things. But in Southern Arizona, you know, we've got Wilcox apples mm-hmm. and tomatoes. We've got lettuces from Arizona. But then you start to dip pretty deep into other local foods that are, you know, not quite as popular. You know, there's only so many dishes you can make with a tippery bean before you're like extending yourself a little much and trying too hard on that one as well, too.
Yeah, or like a wheat berry, you know, anything like that. No, absolutely. And I think that's where we really just try to play like the flavors of the Sonoran Desert. You know, how I like to say, our, you know, our food philosophy at the ranch is like, you know, new American, like elevated ranch cuisine, like Sonoran ranch cuisine. And, because we want to bring all those flavors in and we want to, you know, pay homage to the desert, but we want it to be that beautiful, you know, ranch feel too. So there's going to be beautiful hand-cut steaks.
They're going to be big.
Tell
me about a couple of your favorite dishes that you put together over there on the ranch as well too.
Yeah, absolutely. On our dinner menu, we have a really lovely chili relleno, which is again, our take on it. I like to say there's so many beautiful cuisine, you know, in restaurants in Tucson, and we want to be part of that. But we want to really have that, again, that ranch feel to it. So that chili relleno dish is really amazing. All of our beef, I mean, we hand cut our steaks obviously, and they're just so lovely. And we do, you know, a Nopalis puree. So it's with cactus and, it's really, there's so many things on there that I love, and our banquet menus are amazing. I've had so much fun creating those for, you know, the weddings with Chilean sea bass, because that's my favorite fish. And I always do the wedding tastings and I'm like, if you chose the Chilean sea bass, well done. Like, that's my favorite fish of all time. So we really play with those flavors. The tomatillo poached Chilean sea bass is one of my favorites as well.
I'd imagine you get a lot of weddings out there too, right? This is probably a pretty big wedding destination.
Yeah, you know, and it's such a beautiful venue for weddings because the landscape completely lends to the photos. I mean, literally, like, you can do anything, whether you're up at the old homestead taking pictures by like the beautiful original brick house, you know, or you're right there with a cactus. Like, it's just, it's so beautiful.
How far in advance do you think you've got to be to book a wedding like this? Like, I imagine like Octobers and Aprils and things like that, you might be booked up even years in advance.
Oh, gosh, that is such a good question. I wish I had I mean, any people call every day, right? People call so many times a day, and we have so many venues. That's the crazy thing about the ranch, right? You can get married at the barn. You can get married in what we call a ranch wedding, which is any part of our property as far as our saguaro, even the Cottonwood Grove where we do the cookouts. You can get married down there. So there's so many spaces. I can't even picture us completely filling up everything because the creativity that the guests and the brides have, you know, they want to get married here. They want to do a Cottonwood Grove rehearsal dinner, and they're so special and they're so beautiful.
How many rooms do you have over there? Like, what's the capacity basically to hold at the ranch?
We have 69 keys, but some of those rooms are suites. So the capacity is like about, I mean, we get really busy with spring break. So I want to say it's about 200. But again, with the keys, we have the 69 rooms, but we have, again, the suites and everything like that as well.
Amazing. Well, don't go anywhere. We've got one more segment with Mackenzie O'Leary coming up after the break. She's the executive chef of the Tanga Verde Guest Ranch. And again, we've got Tom Moulton coming up tomorrow from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. I understand we're going to be losing Christy Simone's Wake Up Tucson over here from KVOI Studios in just the next week and a half or so. And that's going to be an interesting little challenge over there. So we're waiting to see how that's going to shake out on the radio station as well, too. But we've got one more segment with Mackenzie coming up after the break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant Kruger on Jump in Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Welcome back to the final segment of Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Grant Kruger, and we have got one more spot over here with Chef Mackenzie O'Leary from the Tanga Verde Ranch.
Hello.
Hey, so this is the oldest operating property in all the land over here in Tucson, 156 years. I understand that there's a little bar area called the Doghouse.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the Doghouse.
Tell me the story about the Doghouse over here. I feel like I'm in the Doghouse every once in a while with my wife, Katarina. Tell me about the Tanga Verde Ranch's Doghouse.
The Doghouse is so awesome. It's so charming. And the view from the patio is everything. The prickly pear margaritas are amazing. They're made with Cherry's local prickly pear. And they're just delicious. And you can play game of pool, sit out back and just enjoy the beautiful view, you know, be by the fireplace. And it's just wonderful. We have a whole doghouse menu with an amazing, thick, beautiful burger on there and some lovely tacos with braised short ribs. So yeah, no, it's a great place.
Amazing. And so you've been in this executive chef game now for well over a decade. You obviously appreciate and love local. Tell me a few of your local favorite restaurants. Like, where's Mackenzie going on her day off from the ranch?
I love food. I love Bata downtown. So into their tasting menus and their different courses. Poco and Moms I really enjoy too. I love Mexican of any kind. So basically, Minadito is like my new favorite, but they're not open on Mondays, unfortunately.
Right. That's always the curse of the restaurant industry, right? I talk about this all the time, that there's only two kinds of people out drinking late on like a Monday or even a late Tuesday night, and that's service industry people or raging alcoholics. And every once in a while, that Venn diagram overlap between the two.
Very, very true. Just recently went down to Maynard's and tried a Roderick's new menu, and that was amazing. So really a huge fan of that. The oysters were fantastic.
No, lots of exciting stuff, of course, happening downtown. Rio Nuevo is always funding new and exciting projects, and I'm always really excited to see what's popping up next over there. Even when I, like at the top of the hour, I said, unfortunately, it was a Starbucks in one of my more favorite properties over there. I'm really interested to see what happens with the Johnny Gibson's Market as they look to retool that into some sort of food hall concept. Is that what I understand they're going to do there?
Yeah, I think so. I'm curious as well.
I've always said that the food hall concept is an interesting one because you get multiple restaurants, but if they don't share the bar proceeds in some capacity, if it's just the food part, there's often not enough to go around at the end of the day, right? Like, this is a house often built on the sale of a cocktail or, you know, some sort of beverage, alcoholic or not, even if it's dry January.
Yeah, dry January, that's so real.
Now, are you ready for dry January to be over like I am?
Yeah. I started it for like a day. myself. Yeah,
how did that work out for you? By January 1st at like 5 p.m., it was over?
Yeah. I decided to wait until the house count goes a little lower. We're at the resort. Yeah. But no, dry January, it's a real thing. And you know, I've talked to people in the industry for sure who are like, we're kind of suffering from this. Like, we want our patrons back.
Oh, I think that there's definitely a correlation. Those first couple weeks of January are always a little tight for us in the restaurant business. Everyone gets their credit card bill from the month before, cuts back on disposable income, looks to try to get a little healthier, doesn't have as much alcohol. And quite frankly, I think even the younger generation's relationship with alcohol is going to be a little different than ours in some capacity. There's a number of various intoxicating beverages that are alcohol-free, including CBD and THC-based products that are on the horizon for legality. And I expect to see both mocktails, like, you know, zero proof cocktails, light alcohol cocktails, or even other fizzy, ready to drink things that might give you a buzz in some capacity as sort of the new superstars moving forward in the restaurant business.
Well, yeah. And, you know, we teach a cocktails class at the ranch, actually. And then that's really an amazing opportunity to come into if you're public, because it's completely open to the public. But we teach a cocktails class. And during the class, I always talk about how to make it a mocktail, how to make this so that there's no alcohol involved, so that this has all the flavor and all the infusion. You know, whether you're slapping the basil and putting that in the, and then muddling it, you know, you can do the same kind of stuff with mocktails and they're just as delicious.
Yeah, I'm starting to see more and more mocktails pop up on menus in restaurants, you know, across the country, quite frankly. It's not just a Southern Arizona thing, but restaurants really do need to modernize, my own places included. We're growing up in a world where customized cold beverages are the thing. We have children that have grown up their entire lives drinking, you know, the pink drink from whatever chain coffee place, plus this, minus that. And then when you go to a restaurant, it's ye old high fructose corn syrup. I have Coke and all of its EHOs over here, right? And maybe a couple different types of iced tea or lemonade. And this is what we're offering to a general public that is used to things far more complex. And I think that's going to be part of the future of the industry moving forward as well, too.
No, yeah, 100%. And I think really keeping it interesting, you know, if it's prickly pear lemonade, that's an interesting take, right? Because it's not a margarita, but it's got just as much flavor and that beautiful color.
Without a doubt. Prickly pear is in, and our prickly pear margarita at Reforma is probably our best-selling drink over there. As you can imagine, so many people coming from back east want to give something like that a try. And that bright, beautiful, bold color just sells itself. When you see a tray of those walking by, you're like, I will have that, please and thank you. So give us a breakdown one more time. We've got a few minutes left over here about where we can find that Tanque Verde Ranch again as well, too, and maybe your website.
Yeah, of course. So tanqueverderanch.com has all of our information on it. You can see, you know, the activities we have, but you can see the dining column. And under the dining column, you're going to find our events. And that's going to have the Torito Farms dinner information. And then, you know, you can also email us reservations at tvgr.com. We're right at the end of Speedway. So again, if you're heading east on Speedway, you can't miss us, but it's 14301 and that's our address. And the website has all of that beautiful information on there as well. We're also on social media. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook, Tanque Verde Ranch. And we have all of our information posted there for our dinners as well. And so it's just, you know, we are such a great, cool place. We're so different, but we're so old school, if that makes sense, right? We're so rustic. And so I, you know, if you just even come out and drive out down Speedway and enjoy the beautiful view on your way, and then come just down to the ranch and see the horses, you can kind of get an idea of what we have going out there.
No, that's awesome. There's so much character out there at the Tanque Verde Ranch, and Tucson is so great like that. We've got so many unique properties that just have a local Southwestern flavor like that. I can't believe this property's been around for 156 years, Mackenzie.
It's crazy, right? And it's just, it's going to keep going. It's just going to keep going. And so we're part of Cote Hospitality. We have a sister property in Minnesota, which I actually go up to in the summer, and we do a taste of Tanque Verde and give them an idea of how our tacos taste and all of those things. And it's really amazing because the Cote family just cares so much about this property. And it's been in their family for so long. And it's just really an amazing company, the Cote Hospitality in general. And again, we have that cool, you know, Minnesota sister property. So it's snowing there right now. Yeah, it's not here.
Probably a pretty desirable time. to be down in southern Arizona from Minnesota. I happened to see a whole lot of Minnesotans with General Ted Maxwell. We were up at that Rams-Minnesota Vikings game up in Glendale. It looked like a home game for the Minnesota Vikings. So I think there's quite a bit of Midwesterners hiding out right now, taking a little bit of reprieve from that Midwestern winter.
Yeah, no, and our Grandview Lodge up in Nisswa is, again, one of our hospitality properties, and they'll come down and they'll actually do like a taste of Minnesota. So that'll be coming up too, and we'll be advertising that as well. So you can kind of get a taste of, I had a Juicy Lucy for the first time, and so yeah.
Amazing. Well, I really appreciate you coming to take some time with us here on Jump In Tucson. Executive Chef Mackenzie O'Leary, a big thank you from KVUI Studios and Jump In for spending part of your Wednesday morning with us.
Thank you so very much for having me.
Thank you, listeners, for spending your Wednesday with us. We love having you hang in and jump in. Love talking all things local Tucson restaurants and politics. I'll be back next week, hopefully with Sal Torito from Torito Farms, talking about all kinds of cool things they've got, making their own beer, making their own milk, and all kinds of neat local things in the Tucson hospitality scene. Feel free to go check out the Tanga Verde Ranch when you are ready to cosplay Yellowstone, or come see me at the Maverick. Thanks again for spending part of your Wednesday morning with us. KVOI, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk.